Now I'm on. There we go. All right. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. That's where we're going to start at tonight. We're just going to look at one verse, and I want to focus on a few things specifically about this verse. Brother Doug hit on them a little bit Sunday, and I think there's good reason for it. I think the Lord's been kind of putting the pieces together. Verse 11 here in chapter 2, it says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." I want to focus on, like I said, a few things here in this verse specifically. And I want a question to resonate in your mind. What is it that makes Christmas so special to you? What is it that you think of when someone says Christmas? What is the first thing that pops into your mind when you hear it? Is it the gifts? Is it the Christmas carols, the hot chocolate, the family, the friends? What is it? What is it that makes it special to you? And now more specifically, what is something that comes up in your mind that suddenly makes you reflect on Christ? What is it about Christmas that makes you, this is what it's about. This is what it was always meant to be about. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Something that stood out to me in studying this for this devotional, I want to look at specifically are these gifts that are given to Christ from the wise men. One gift specifically, frankincense, gold, and myrrh. I want to look into that a little bit. Let's pray and then we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for allowing us to be here this evening, Lord. Thank You for the great singing, the worship, Lord. Is just it really prepares the heart. And Lord, I ask that You would just continue to keep us prepared, Lord, that we would listen, that we would hear what You have to say to us tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that this would be a blessing, a challenge. And Lord, I ask that we would leave here, Lord, looking at Christmas in a different light, Lord. Or if it was in the same light, Lord, that we would continue the process of it, Lord. I ask that You bless these things, bless the service. In Your name I pray. Amen. Frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Frankincense was a very expensive spice back in the day. Very fragrant, and it was used for these medicinal purposes. It had a very pleasant aroma, and it was very highly sought for. And Brother Doug hit on a point that was very important, that gold was actually the least expensive of these. I thought that was very interesting as well. And myrrh had a lot of the similar attributes as frankincense. It was very expensive. It was known to be bitter. When eaten, it had a fragrance. It was used for medicinal purposes as well. But something that stands out about this myrrh was its use for embalming the dead. They used it to cover the stench of decay on the body of the deceased. And that really, when I looked into it, it really threw a loop. I was like, wow. Okay, Lord, why? The biblical meaning of myrrh here in Hebrew is more, meaning bitter. It was also used for anointing oil, and it had a very fragrant resin to it. It was pulled off these trees. Its meaning could even be said as bitter to divine. Some say it signifies one suffering to divine blessing. And let that sink in while we get into this. Why would the Magi, or the wise men, bring something such as myrrh to the birth of a child? They knew that this was no ordinary child at all. This was not just a child. This was the King of Kings. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, they knew that. In verse 2, they said, saying, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." They knew who this was. They'd been looking for it. They were searching for it. This was no ordinary king by any means. If you look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll look at verses 19 and 20. Excuse me. The Bible says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." They knew this was the king that was foreordained. This was the foreordained child, the king, this was to happen before the foundation of the world. This was always the plan. This king had a plan. This plan was always the plan. Even in our non-existent state of before creation, this was the plan. This is the beauty of God's eternal mind. It really will throw you for a loop. But these wise men, they were very intellectual, and they knew their stuff. They knew God's word. And at the end of that verse in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." What are they talking about here? Well, there's several scriptures in Isaiah and Micah. Isaiah 60, verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy arising. In Micah 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth had been from of old, from everlasting. These Magi knew what was coming. They knew what to keep their eyes out for. They were vigilant. And when they saw the promise of God, they saw this star in the sky, they knew. And they journeyed to worship him. So was it by chance that these men just show up offering gifts, just these random gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh? Absolutely not. I believe that the Lord has a reason for everything in Scripture, and this specifically. They were diligent. They knew. They were watchful for the coming of the Savior, and they knew what to bring. But did the wise men know what would become of Christ? And I think this is a little bit harder to say. It's possible. I think it's very possible that the Magi knew what could come of Christ. But is it a coincidence that they would bring such a gift as myrrh? It's looking at Scripture that knowing that if the wise men understood Isaiah 63 and Micah 5:2, I wouldn't find it too far stretched that they knew what would come of Christ's life. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. In verse 12 it says, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This was always the plan. This was always in Scripture. This was prophesied. I don't know that they knew these things. But the gift of myrrh, this is just one of many pictures of what would become of our Savior. This is why he came. To bear the sins of many. From the beginning, it was always about the plan of redemption. These wise men weren't quite aware of the prophetic signs of the coming Messiah, maybe, but whether the wise men knew or not the sacrificial role of Christ to save humanity, doesn't matter. God knew. God knew what was coming. God knew that one would have to give their life for humanity. Knowing that humanity itself was completely condemned and we were completely incapable to save ourselves from that condemnation. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this is so true. This is our state. We have all fallen short. We are never enough to take care of ourselves. None of us could do it because we have our own sins to deal with. We can't pay for other sins, our sins. We have our own sins to deal with anyway. And there's a reason for this. If you look with me in 1 John chapter 4, we'll look at verses 9 and 10. And the Bible says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that He might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God knew that He would have to send His only Son. He knew that we were never capable of taking care of this ourselves. So why would He do such a thing? Why would He send His Son? Why? What? For what reasons? Why not just let us wallow in pity and rot and let us go? You know, just turn His back on us. One beautiful word, and that is love. Love here. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Those are strong words. John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He could have just as easily condemned us as He did save us. But He chose to save us. He loved us enough not to turn His back on us. The whole purpose of the birth of Christ was for one reason. It was for one goal. It was for us to come to know Him, to have that relationship with Him, that all would be saved from eternal hell, that we wouldn't suffer condemnation. He loved you and I enough to send His most precious gift. None of these worldly, carnal gifts, none of these gifts that rust and fall apart and soon will wither away and will never be remembered. 20 years from now, the gift you get tomorrow, you won't even remember it. Next week, you might not remember it. I don't know how bad your memory is. But truly, the gift of Christ never loses its value. It never loses its longevity in our lives. It exists forever. It is eternal. In the end, everything that we have in this life will burn up anyway. Why not just put it all and give it all to Christ? Why accept gifts when we could just give our lives for Him? The gift of His Son, though, this is the gift that matters. The Most High God that came to earth to take on human form, to lay His own life down, to come and defeat death having victory over the grave, giving us the promise of eternal life, the promise of all who believe that Christ is the Son of God will receive that gift. That's a gift. May we recognize that when we come upon Christmas, that we sincerely as Christians understand that without the birth of Christ, we could never rejoice in the redemption through Christ. Being saved and understanding who we are and why we need God, that's great. But the only reason we have this is because God took the time to love us, to send His Son in human form to just die and take my sins from me. That is a love that no other man could shed love. No other man could shed love in this way. So when you think of Jesus as a babe in the manger, remember that it's not just some cute depiction of Him. It's not just a few people standing around a box of hay looking at this child. No, but rather this is the King of the universe. This is the King of kings. This babe is as a lamb for the slaughter, as Isaiah 53 says. This babe saved and is presently saving because of His unconditional love for mankind. This is what He came to do. It's not just about the birth, but it's about what happens after the birth. Why He was sent here. We cannot rejoice in those things without the birth of Christ. I think of that song that comes to mind all the time, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? That this child that you delivered will soon deliver you? As I was reading this and I was singing it in my head, and as I was studying back here in the office, this passage, or I don't know how you want to say it, it came to me, so I wrote it down. It may mean nothing, but I feel like the Lord wanted me to share it. Christian, don't forget that your Jesus would be in a manger lay. Christian, don't forget that He was and is still the King of Kings today. Always remember that Jesus is the one that still saves, that this Jesus that you serve is the same forever, today and yesterday. Why do you deserve Christmas the way that you do? Is it you're observing Christmas, glorifying and edifying Christ, or is it fulfilling your desires, fulfilling those things that are simply temporary? Even in the aspect of friends and family, that's great. It's good. It's good. But remember why we get to be with friends and family. Remember why we get to celebrate this day the way that we do. Do you find time to reflect on God's plan of redemption? As we were saying, without the birth there would be no redemption. To reflect on the grace that He has shed on you and I. Or is this the time that you get to receive things from others? And we move on next week. Next Monday we won't even remember until we might hear of Christ maybe next Christmas. But is it something we reflect on honestly, often? God has given us this gift of Christ that we may have eternal life. And so may we not lose sight of who we serve and why. And that's what I got.